no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter where you are right now, you are welcome here. Welcome to Daily Audio Bible Chronological. I'm Jill, and today is the 30th day of June. We bring this month to a close today. Well done. You have made it this far, 6 whole months into this year, 6 whole months into the Word of God. Maybe you've done it imperfectly. That's okay. That's okay. No one's keeping record. No one's keeping score if you've done it perfectly. Life will not be perfect. In fact, you probably know that. Much of life is so imperfect, and we spend so much time trying to perfect it, and it's an impossible task. And so there's grace to fill in all the cracks of today. But regardless of your journey, 6 months in, you've made it. And you've done that together with this big, beautiful global campfire all over the world. That is a beautiful thing. We're going to jump right into our reading today. 2 Chronicles, we're reading chapters 19 through 23. It's a long reading today. And this week we're reading the New Living Translation, 2 Chronicles chapter 19. When King Jehoshaphat of Judah arrived safely home in Jerusalem, Jehu, son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him. "Why should you help the wicked and love those who hate the Lord?" he asked the king. "Because of what you have done, the Lord is very angry with you. Even so, there is some good in you, for you have removed the Asherah poles throughout the land, and you have committed yourself to seeking God." Jehoshaphat lived in Jerusalem, but he went out among the people traveling from Beersheba to the hill country of Ephraim, encouraging the people to return to the Lord, the God of their ancestors. He appointed judges throughout the nation and all the fortified towns, and he said to them, "Always think carefully before pronouncing judgment. Remember that you do not judge to please people, but to please the Lord. He will be with you when you render the verdict in each case. Fear the Lord and judge with integrity, for the Lord our God does not tolerate perverted justice, partiality, or the taking of bribes." In Jerusalem, Jehoshaphat appointed some of the Levites and priests and clan leaders in Israel to serve as judges for cases involving the Lord's regulations and for civil disputes. These were his instructions to them. "You must always act in the fear of the Lord, with faithfulness and an undivided heart. Whenever a case comes to you from fellow citizens in an outlying town, whether a murder case or some other violation of God's laws, commands, decrees, or regulations, you must warn them not to sin against the Lord, so that he will not be angry with you and them. Do this, and you will not be guilty. Amariah, the high priest, will have final say in all cases involving the Lord. Zebediah, son of Ishmael, the leader from the tribe of Judah, will have final say in all civil cases. The Levites will assist you in making sure that justice is served. Take courage as you fulfill your duties, and may the Lord be with those who do what is right." After this, the armies of the Moabites, Ammonites, and some of the Munites declared war on Jehoshaphat. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar." This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, "O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt, so they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us. For they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. Oh, our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. As all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives, and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benaiah, son of Jeel, son of Mattaniah, a Levite, who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, "Listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat. This is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You will find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens in the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. All the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshiping the Lord. Then the Levites from the clans of Kohath and Korah stood to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. Early the next morning, the army of Judah went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. On the way, Jehoshaphat stopped and said, "Listen to me, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you will be able to stand firm. Believe in his prophets, and you will succeed." After consulting the people, the king appointed singers to walk ahead of the army, singing to the Lord and praising him for his holy splendor. This is what they sing: "Give thanks to the Lord. His faithful love endures forever." At the very moment they began to sing and give praise, the Lord caused the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir to start fighting among themselves. The armies of Moab and Ammon turned against their allies from Mount Seir and killed every one of them. After they had destroyed the army of Seir, they began attacking each other. So when the army of Judah arrived at the lookout point in the wilderness, all they saw were dead bodies lying on the ground as far as they could see. Not a single one of the enemy had escaped. King Jehoshaphat and his men went out to gather the plunder. They found vast amounts of equipment, clothing, and other valuables, more than they could carry. There was so much plunder that it took them 3 days just to collect it all. On the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing, which got its name that day because the people praised and thanked the Lord there. It is still called the Valley of Blessing today. Then all the men returned to Jerusalem with Jehoshaphat leading them, overjoyed that the Lord had given them victory over their enemies. They marched into Jerusalem to the music of harps, lyres, and trumpets, and they proceeded to the temple of the Lord. When all the surrounding kingdoms heard that the Lord himself had fought against the enemies of Israel, the fear of God came over them. So Jehoshaphat's kingdom was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. So Jehoshaphat ruled over the land of Judah. He was 35 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 25 years. His mother was Azubah, the daughter of Shilhai. Jehoshaphat was a good king, following the ways of his father Asa. He did what was pleasing in the Lord's sight. During his reign, however, he failed to remove all the pagan shrines, and the people never fully committed themselves to follow the God of their ancestors. The rest of the events of Jehoshaphat's reign, from beginning to end, are recorded in the record of Jehu, son of Hanani, which is included in the book of the kings of Israel. Sometime later, King Jehoshaphat of Judah made an alliance with King Ahaziah of Israel, who was very wicked. Together they built a fleet of trading ships at the port of Ezion-Geber. Then Eleazar, son of Dodavahu, from Merisha, prophesied against Jehoshaphat. He said, "Because you have allied yourself with King Ahaziah, the Lord will destroy your work." So the ships met with disaster and never put out to sea. When Jehoshaphat died, he was buried with his ancestors in the city of David. Then his son Jehoram became the next king. Jehoram's brothers, the other sons of Jehoshaphat, were Azariah, Jehiel, Zechariah, Azarehu, Michael, and Shephatiah. All these were the sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah. Their father had given each of them valuable gifts of silver, gold, and costly items, and also some of Judah's fortified towns. However, he designated Jehoram as the next king because he was the oldest. But when Jehoram had become solidly established as king, he killed all his brothers and some of the other leaders of Judah. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. But Jehoram followed the example of the kings of Israel and was as wicked as King Ahab, for he had married one of Ahab's daughters. So Jehoram did what was evil in the Lord's sight. But the Lord did not want to destroy David's dynasty, for he had made a covenant with David and promised that his descendants would continue to rule, shining like a lamp forever. During Jehoram's reign, the Edomites revolted against Judah and crowned their own king. So Jehoram went out with his full army and all his chariots. The Edomites surrounded him and his chariot commanders, but he went out at night and attacked them under cover of darkness. Even so, Edom has been independent from Judah to this day. The town of Libna also revolted about that same time. All this happened because Jehoram had abandoned the Lord, the God of his ancestors. He had built pagan shrines in the hill country of Judah and had led the people of Jerusalem and Judah to give themselves to pagan gods and to go astray. Then Elijah the prophet wrote Jehoram this letter. "This is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, says. You have not followed the good example of your father Jehoshaphat or your grandfather King Asa of Judah. Instead, you have been as evil as the kings of Israel. You have led the people of Jerusalem and Judah to worship idols just as King Ahab did in Israel. And you have even killed your own brothers, men who were better than you. So now the Lord is about to strike you, your people, your children, your wives, and all that is yours with a heavy blow. You yourself will suffer with a severe intestinal disease that will get worse each day until your bowels come out." Then the Lord stirred up the Philistines and the Arabs who lived near the Ethiopians to attack Jehoram. They marched against Judah, broke down its defenses, and carried away everything of value in the royal palace, including the king's sons and his wives. Only his youngest son, Ahaziah, was spared. After all this, the Lord struck Jehoram with an incurable intestinal disease. The disease grew worse and worse, and at the end of 2 years, it caused his bowels to come out, and he died in agony. His people did not build a great funeral fire to honor him, as they had done for his ancestors. Jehoram was 32 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years. No one was sorry when he died. They buried him in the city of David, but not in the royal cemetery. Then the people of Jerusalem made Ahaziah, Jehoram's youngest son, their next king, since the marauding bands who came with the Arabs had killed all the older sons. So Ahaziah, son of Jehoram, reigned as king of Judah. Ahaziah was 22 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 1 year. His mother was Athaliah, a granddaughter of King Omri. Ahaziah also followed the evil example of King Ahab's family, for his mother encouraged him in doing wrong. He did what was evil in the Lord's sight, just as Ahab's family had done. They even became his advisors after the death of his father, and they led him to ruin. Following their evil advice, Ahaziah joined Joram, the son of King Ahab of Israel, in his war against King Hazael of Aram at Ramoth-Gilead. When the Arameans wounded Joram in the battle, he returned to Jezreel to recover from the wounds he had received at Ramoth. Because Joram was wounded, King Ahaziah of Judah went to Jezreel to visit him. But God had decided that his visit would be Ahaziah's downfall. While he was there, Ahaziah went out with Joram to meet Jehu, grandson of Nimshi, whom the Lord had appointed to destroy the dynasty of Ahab. While Jehu was executing judgment against the family of Ahab, he happened to meet some of Judah's officials and Ahaziah's relatives who were traveling with Ahaziah. So Jehu killed them all. Then Jehu's men searched for Ahaziah, and they found him hiding in the city of Samaria. They brought him to Jehu, who killed him. Ahaziah was given a decent burial because the people said he was the grandson of Jehoshaphat, a man who sought the Lord with all his heart. But none of the surviving members of Ahaziah's family were capable of ruling the kingdom. When Athaliah, the mother of King Ahaziah of Judah, learned that her son was dead, she began to destroy the rest of Judah's royal family. But Ahaziah's sister, Jehosheba, the daughter of King Jehoram, took Ahaziah's infant son, Joash, and stole him away from among the rest of the king's children who were about to be killed. She put Joash and his nurse in a bedroom, and this way, Jehosheba, wife of Jehoiada, the priest and sister of Ahaziah, hid the child so that Athaliah could not murder him. Joash remained hidden in the temple of God for 6 years, while Athaliah ruled over the land. In the 7th year of Athaliah's reign, Jehoiada the priest decided to act. He summoned his courage and made a pact with 5 army commanders: Azariah, son of Jehoram; Ishmael, son of Jehohanan; Azariah, son of Obed; Maaseiah, son of Edaiah; and Elisaphat, son of Zichri. These men traveled secretly throughout Judah and summoned the Levites and clan leaders in all the towns to come to Jerusalem. They all gathered at the temple of God, where they made a solemn pact with Joash, the young king. Jehoiada said to them, "Here is the king's son. The time has come for him to reign. The Lord has promised that a descendant of David will be our king. This is what you must do. When you priests and Levites come on duty on the Sabbath, a third of you will serve as gatekeepers. Another third will go over to the royal palace, and the final third will be at the foundation gate. Everyone else should stay in the courtyards of the Lord's temple. Remember, only the priests and Levites on duty may enter the temple of the Lord, for they are set apart as holy. The rest of the people must obey the Lord's instructions and stay outside. You Levites, form a bodyguard around the king and keep your weapons in hand. Kill anyone who tries to enter the temple. Stay with the king wherever he goes." So the Levites and all the people of Judah did everything as Jehoiada the priest ordered. The commanders took charge of the men reporting for duty that Sabbath, as well as those who were going off duty. Jehoiada the priest did not let anyone go home after their shift ended. Then Jehoiada supplied the commanders with the spears and the large and small shields that had once belonged to King David and were stored in the temple of God. He stationed all the people around the king with their weapons ready. They formed a line from the south side of the temple around to the north side and all around the altar. Then Jehoiada and his sons brought out Joash, the king's son, placed the crown on his head, and presented him with a copy of God's law. They anointed him and proclaimed him king, and everyone shouted, "Long live the king!" When Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and the shouts of praise to the king, she hurried to the Lord's temple to see what was happening. When she arrived, she saw the newly crowned king standing in his place of authority by the pillar at the temple entrance. The commanders and trumpeters were surrounding him, and people from all over the land were rejoicing and blowing trumpets. Singers with musical instruments were leading the people in a great celebration. When Athaliah saw all this, she tore her clothes in despair and shouted, "Treason! Treason!" Then Jehoiada the priest ordered the commanders who were in charge of the troops, "Take her to the soldiers in front of the temple and kill anyone who tries to rescue her." For the priest had said, "She must not be killed in the temple of the Lord." So they seized her and led her out to the entrance of the horse gate on the palace grounds, and they killed her there. Then Jehoiada made a covenant between himself and the king and the people that would be the Lord's people. And all the people went over to the temple of Baal and tore it down. They demolished the altars and smashed the idols, and they killed Matan, the priest of Baal, in front of the altars. Jehoiada now put the priests and Levites in charge of the temple of the Lord, following all the directions given by David. He also commanded them to present burnt offerings to the Lord, as prescribed by the law of Moses, and to sing and rejoice as David had instructed. He also stationed gatekeepers at the gates of the Lord's temple to keep out those who for any reason were ceremonially unclean. Then the commanders, nobles, rulers, and all the people of the land escorted the king from the temple of the Lord. They went through the upper gate and into the palace, and they seated the king on the royal throne. So all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was peaceful because Athaliah had been killed. This is one of those days that there is so much to talk about. We could go back the last couple of days and just really piece this story together about these 400 prophets that God sent a spirit. He allowed a spirit to come and confuse them and to speak lies to all of Ahab's prophets. I mean, direct quote from the Bible. "So you see, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouths of all your prophets, for the Lord has pronounced your doom." And King Ahab already doesn't like this prophet because he never tells him anything good. He doesn't tell him what he wants to hear. I mean, you can wrestle through this story on your own. But we have to wrestle within ourselves, because do we listen and pay attention to anybody that tells us you probably shouldn't do that? You know, that's not the best choice for your life. That would actually not be pleasing to the Lord. So King Ahab already he's got issue with Micaiah. And then in the story, and if you haven't read yesterday, it's such a great story worth reading. You have Zedekiah, a matter of superiority and pride, who walks over to Micaiah and slaps him across the face and asks, "Since when did the Spirit of the Lord leave me to speak to you?" I can't even take the superiority. Because it's us, right? Who said that you're right and that I'm wrong? But rarely do we go over and slap someone, because that's a whole new level of arrogance and pride and anger. And it's such an essential story, because we plainly see that God allowed a lying spirit to come into the minds, the hearts, the conscience of 400 prophets and tell the king of both Judah and Israel to go into war, that they're going to be fine. And there is this one lone voice in the sea of prophets that starts with sarcasm and then prophesies, you will not be successful, which only makes Ahab even more angrier and says, see, didn't I tell you? He never tells me what I want to hear. He never tells me anything good that God is going to do for me. And Ahab disregards the voice of God through Micaiah. And through his disobedience, it costs King Ahab's life. Okay, so there's some wrestling there. That's okay. That's good. We work out our own faith and beliefs through fear and trembling. And as I told you, we go through these books and the kings that ruled pretty quickly. And we see that very poignant sentence in each reign of each king. They either did evil in the sight of God or they did good in the sight of God. They either obeyed and listened to God and turned the hearts of the people back to God, or they promoted other worship of other gods, encouraged it, and pulled the people away from Almighty God. Then a powerful story today with Jehoshaphat. He is leading the people to return back to the God of their ancestors. I'm not sure if you notice what's been happening here with some of the kings and some of the people, and especially some of the prophets that we're reading about, but the ones who are actually going against some of the masses of people, the lone voices, they sometimes are the ones that people declare war on. The actual voice and representation of God that goes against the masses that say they've heard from God. We'd like to single that one person out that's going against what everybody else is saying. It's really no different now than then, when we do not know the word of God, the voice of God. We will adhere to whatever anybody says. If it sounds good, if it feels good, if there's a scripture made in passing that can support it, and all of these things happen out of context of the actual Bible, when people are not walking solely, personally, intimately with God, they can hear something from anywhere that might just fit into whatever it is that feels relative in the moment. Culturally, spiritually, I've said it maybe dozen times this year. I'll keep saying it. We have to know the voice of God. We have to know what God calls good and what God calls evil, and not what the world calls good or what the world calls evil, not what society, not what a church, not what a pastor, but what the voice of God through his word declares as good and as evil. Because we have leaders that are turning people back to God in the scripture, and then we have armies that want to take out the leaders that are actually pointing people back to worship God. So back to Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat finds out that the armies of the Moabites, the Ammonites, and some of the Munites declared war on him. And this is such an honest, transparent, and vulnerable response from Jehoshaphat to God. He's terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting People from other towns came on his behalf to seek the Lord's help. Can I just challenge us? Could we just fast when we don't know what to do in our lives? Could we just fast the news media outlets? Could we just fast information that is so readily available to us that will feed us whatever narrative we are looking for without researching and listening to the other side? Can we honor the fact that Jehoshaphat is seeking the face of God when he does not know what to do, but he is seeking it directly from God? And I love this picture. The men from the tribe of Judah stood before the Lord and they waited. They waited on the Lord. They waited for him to speak. And as the Spirit of the Lord came upon one, Jehaziel, he declares the voice of the Lord, "Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not ours, but God's." Can you imagine standing there, knowing that you may be outnumbered, knowing that you do not know what to do, hearing the army coming, and literally your legs might be trembling and feeling like they're gonna buckle, and somehow you have to trust God. You have to trust that what you heard and believe to be the voice of God is true. Our dependency is not in any man, but our dependency, our trust, should be in God alone. God, what are you saying? What do you want to speak to my heart? Can we get alone? Can we get quiet? Can we bypass information to seek wisdom? And will we obey the voice of God in our lives? When God speaks, and not just when he speaks, but when he speaks and the voice of God goes against the masses, it goes against what everybody else is saying that God is saying, because they do not know the voice of God. Jesus, I pray that our ears would be attuned to you, that our hearts would be receptive to you, that we will surrender our will, surrender our ways, trust you, follow you, obey you, and that we, like the people in the reading today, not one person was given up, and they bowed and they worshiped and they gave you thanks, because you were faithful to them. May we recognize when you are faithful to us, and may we stop, pause, and give you thanks, praise, and worship. And I pray this all in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Daily Audio Bible, that is home base, that is the website, that is the free app. Let's talk about the long walk. The long walk is coming up July the 7th, just a week away. Isn't that crazy to think about? A week away is our annual DAB holiday, and we hope that you will walk with us, but not just with us, with God, that you will get alone, that you will set time aside, that you will make time, you'll sacrifice something to be alone with God. Just talk to him. Just let him talk to you. If you don't know what to say, hi is a really good way to break the ice. We're going to do this individually, collectively, and in community as we do this globally all over the globe, we will set up a Facebook, a social media post about the long walk, and you all can place your pictures and tell your stories. Tell us where you're walking from and connect with fellow dabbers that are walking and spending time alone with God. It's such a beautiful thing to see all over the globe. It's such a beautiful thing for Brian and I to be able to participate in with all of you. And boy, it is, I saw people walking in my subdivision several years ago on the same day, and I couldn't help but think, I just wonder, maybe, I don't know. That's coming up July 7th, mark your calendars. If you would like to partner with us, thank you so much to each and every one of you for partnering with us. We could not do this without you. And we are so grateful to you and to God for each and every one of you. If you're giving by mail, DAB PO Box 1996, Spring Hill, Tennessee 37174. Or you can utilize that app, hit the give icon up at the top right-hand section. And lastly, look for the give icon on the website. That's going to do it for me today. I'm Jill. We'll turn the page together tomorrow. A lot to catch up on over the weekend and today. I love you all. We'll start a brand new month tomorrow. Hard to believe. Until then, love one another.
Good morning, DABC. This is God's Sunshine in California. Just calling to give you an update on the prayer request that I posted about a month ago for my friend's grandson, Giacomo. Just wanted to let you all know that although the doctor was very surprised by the size of the hole in his heart and for his little age of being only a couple months old, the surgery was a success and they were able to patch the hole in his heart and he is thriving. He's gaining weight, he's happy, he's doing well, and the doctors don't think there's going to be any further complications. So just wanted to thank you all for your prayers. The family thanks you for your prayers and just send out my love to you all. I thank you for each of you that pray for each of the prayer requests, and thank you for this community and the ability to be able to share prayer requests all over the world so that the world can be praying for each and every request. God, we thank you, and in God's name, amen.
Hello, DABC family. This is Diana from Florida, and I want to pray for Terry from Toledo, whom has been convicted by a specific Bible verse in the January 26th podcast, and she does not want to allow any distractions to come in between what it is God wants her to do and who he wants her to. Sweet Jesus, I lift up Terry right now into your hands, Lord God. And I pray, oh Lord God, that she would be a lover of the things you love and a hater of the things you hate. Lord Jesus, that her desires would be for you and for your God things, for your purposes, for your work that progresses the kingdom forward, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I pray and that she would not get distracted, whether that's the news and what is happening in the world, whether that is activities or hobbies that are good and well, but maybe distracting her from God, or maybe it's friends who may not necessarily be seeking Lord as fervently as she is, or maybe it's a job that keeps consuming her time. Lord God, I pray that she would put those boundaries, oh Lord God, those boundaries on these different areas so that she can focus strictly on seeking you and doing your work, your kingdom work that you have fashioned her to do since the beginning of the world, oh Lord God. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ that her heart and her soul would be stirred on fire for you, Jesus, and that she would be transformed by the renewing of her mind, God, and not allow the patterns of this world to shape her thinking and her behavior. We love you, Lord, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hello, my wonderful DABC family. This is covered in his blood. And I just want to thank you guys so much for praying for my son, Tutu, and for him to get a lawyer to fight for visitation rights to see his daughter, which this is so crazy to me. You're trying to fight somebody who actually want to be in their child's life. You guys, God is good. God is listening. You guys, he actually found an attorney in Mississippi. It's called Mississippi Volunteer Lawyer Project, and they actually help fathers with child support issue, visitation, a lot of different things that the fathers who can't afford a lawyer. So you guys, will you please pray that this attorney will fight for him, fight for Tutu, so he's able to get equal visitation rights to see his daughter. And I just want to thank you guys in advance. And I also want to lift up everybody who needs prayer. I'm still listening, still praying. And I also want to give an update on Trayvon. Trayvon is in the Navy, doing great. You guys have been promoted 3 times, and he's now stationed in California. Continue to pray for him as well. And I want to thank you guys for everything. I love you guys. This is covered in his blood. Have a wonderful rest of your week.